You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. So recording a little emergency podcast here as the Mets have made a trade. They finally got some starting pitching, acquiring Rich Hill from the Tampa Bay Rays. They gave up a prospect, Matt Dyer, who's a catcher, a fourth-round draft pick in 2020. We'll talk about him more in the second segment, but not a top 30 prospect. And Tommy Hunter, a relief pitcher that was on the IL anyway. And they get a starter a week ahead of the deadline where they desperately needed to, since they don't have a starter for one of those games this weekend against the Blue Jays. And then they have five games in 3 days against the Atlanta Braves. So on this special edition of Locked On Mets, going to talk about Rich Hill's career in the first segment, then in the second segment, talk a little bit more about this deal, what he's done this season, and what he is going to bring to the Mets. But before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also follow the show at Locked On Mets. So Rich Hill is 41 years old, has a 3.78 ERA this season and 19 starts. But he was drafted all the way back in 2002 by the Chicago Cubs in the fourth round. Fun fact, I was 7 years old. Anyway, Rich Hill made his debut in 2005, pitched to a 5.13 ERA in 10 games, 4 starts. Over 4 seasons with the Cubs, he pitched to a 4.37 ERA and made 57 starts. Then he became a bit of a journeyman, had a pit stop in Baltimore, then in Boston from 2010 through 2012. Only pitched 31 and two-thirds innings with the Red Sox at that point, as he had Tommy John surgery in 2011. Would go back to the Red Sox a couple of times in this odyssey that was his big league career. Had stops with the Indians, the Angels, the Yankees, the Nationals, even the Long Island Ducks, before finally returning to prominence in 2015 with the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are a very important note when it comes to Rich Hill, because Zach Scott was part of the front office in Boston for all of those years when he made so many different pit stops with that team. In 2015, makes 4 starts in September. He was this great story because he had been with the Long Island Ducks, so he was pitching in the Indy League. The Red Sox get him. There was all that talk when Zach Scott was named the Mets, you know, interim GM at the time, about his philosophy and the fact that they were always scouring all the different markets to see where you could get talent, including the Indy League. And Rich Hill, a great example of that. Obviously, though, there was a lot of ties to Hill in that organization since he'd spent so much time there. But that was kind of your shining example of that for Zach Scott. Comes back to the Red Sox rotation in 2015, makes 4 starts, has a 1.55 ERA with 36 strikeouts and 29 innings pitched. Parlays that into a deal with the Oakland A's in 2016, pitched to a 2.25 ERA and 14 starts there before being traded to the Dodgers, where he had a 1.83 ERA and 6 starts down the stretch, made a couple of starts in the postseason, including a really good one in the NLCS against the Cubs, although the Cubs came back, won that game, and eventually went on to win the World Series. For Hill, he stayed with the Dodgers, signed a 3-year deal worth $48 million, made 68 starts and pitched in 69 games for LA over his tenure there, which started after that midseason trade in 2016, and pitched to a 3.16 ERA. Obviously spent a lot of time in the postseason as another one of their options alongside Clayton Kershaw and others. He then would sign a 1-year deal with the Minnesota Twins in 2020, pitched to a 3.03 ERA in 8 starts in the shortened season. This year, signed a 1-year, $2.5 million deal with the Tampa Bay Rays, and he's had a mixed season, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But overall, You're getting a guy who has loads of big league experience. I'd almost call this the veteran version of David Peterson once Peterson would really learn how to pitch. That's kind of what you're looking at here. A guy with one of the best curveballs in baseball, a big lefty, doesn't throw hard, but because of his size, he's able to get away with that 88 mile per hour fastball when he pairs it with that slow curveball. He mostly relies on that two-pitch mix with the fastball and the curveball, but also has a slider that's been great this year. Whiff rate of 48%. It's a really nice pitch. It doesn't throw it that much. Maybe we'll see him throw it more with the Mets. Overall, though, this is a veteran that knows how to pitch. That's what it comes down to. And he's a fresh arm. He last pitched on July 18th, so he should be good to go, whether it's this weekend or the start of next week against the Braves. I want to talk a little bit more about what he's done this season with Tampa, what the Mets traded to acquire him, and what this means for them as we still head a week away from the trade deadline. But first, I want to tell you about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar ever. There is so many delicious flavors to choose from. There is really something for everyone, whether it's the coconut bar, cherry barcia, raspberry mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, which is my favorite, or German chocolate. If you want to get a mixed box, you can get two of each and really see which flavors are best for you. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which tells you that this is a great product that you will enjoy. If you want to try it today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. If you want to bet on Rich Hill to get more than 6.5 strikeouts in his first Mets start, you can find a prop bet like that at BetOnline. They have you covered for everything you can want, whether it's awards, TV shows, reality TV, Major League Baseball, the NFL, when that season arrives very soon. BetOnline has you covered with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. You want to try to play today? Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. So Rich Hill started this season in Tampa's rotation and did not do good early on. Had a 7.25 ERA in his first five starts. Then he had an outstanding month in May where he was the AL pitcher of the month. Had a 0.78 ERA, gave up just 3 earned runs in 34 and 2/3 innings pitched. Had 36 strikeouts, was incredible. Then he came back down to earth. He's basically pitched to well over a 4 ERA since in the preceding couple of months here. He's a fifth starter at this stage of his career, but he has one of the best curveballs in baseball. He has a 3.78 ERA when you put it all together this season. And once again, he is a fresh arm. Also, the fact that he has a 3.06 career ERA in the postseason doesn't hurt, but what the Mets are getting right now is somebody that's better than every Robert Stock, Anthony Banda, and whoever else you want to pull up from Syracuse or off the scrap heap that could have given the Mets a start right now. And so you pay a little bit of a premium, if you want to call it that, in giving on Matt Dyer, who's a catching prospect that, you know, has some upside here, but he's not a top 30 prospect. So this was a trade that didn't hurt you. And maybe the Rays look at this and they see a prospect in Dyer who they can really turn into something. And if they do, you credit a great organization for knowing how to develop a player. But this is not a trade where you should at all think, oh, the Mets gave up too much here. Rich Hill fills a huge need for this team. And the biggest part about it is it got done a week ahead of the deadline. In the show that went up earlier this morning where I had Pat Regazzo on, he talked about why it's so unlikely for deals to get done before the trade deadline. I have been preaching, get Tyler Anderson, get Tyler Anderson, get Tyler Anderson. But the fact is the Pirates are holding out, trying to get a little bit more. They probably wanted a top 30 prospect, and the Mets said, yeah, maybe we can do that with Anderson, but they're probably looking at Jose Berrios, as Pat Regazzo talked about as well. And if you're going to try to swing for the fences and get a bigger arm, then why trade one of your top 30 prospects for a Tyler Anderson when you can get a little deal done here to get Rich Hill in? You know, who knows how much he affects this team overall, but in the short term, over the next 2 weeks, he's going to have a big impact. He's going to make some starts, and then if the Mets get healthy and Rich Hill is pushed to the bullpen as a long man, well, you're very happy to have another option that you can go to if you need him. And again, a guy with a lot of experience. So the Mets trade Matt Dyer, and to get a little bit deeper into who this guy is, they drafted him in the fourth round in 2020, made his debut this year, obviously because of the COVID season last year. He's hitting 194 for Port St. Lucie. He does have 7 home runs, 16 extra base hits, and 124 at-bats. Very much all or nothing, a .452 slugging percentage. This was a guy that moved around in college a lot, didn't just play behind the plate, very athletic. I'm sure the Rays look at him and say, hey, if we can develop him as a catcher, really focus in on turning him into a great receiver, because as you know, that's very important to the Rays, who had that focus on their pitching. Mike Zunino, who I think was an all-star this year with them, hits a bunch of home runs, and he's a great defensive catcher. So you look at someone like Matt Dyer, who's very athletic, and they say, all right, if we can make him a great defensive catcher and we can really develop that power further, maybe they have something with this guy Dyer. But that's going to be a couple of years away, and he is not a prospect that is on any top list. This doesn't affect the state of the Mets farm system. It's just a deal you have to make. You give up a guy that the Rays probably really like, and you also give up Tommy Hunter, who was on the injured list with a back injury, was very good for the Mets this year, did not allow a run in 8 innings pitch, but he was not helping the team right now at this moment. The Rays maybe look at Tommy Hunter as a guy that can slot into their bullpen at the end of the season, but for now, it's a pitching swap with Hunter and Hill. The Mets get a big need filled right now. The Rays look a little bit more long-term with the prospect and Tommy Hunter maybe factoring in at the end of the season. And from there, you move on to your other needs at the deadline. This does not stop them from getting another starting pitcher. It just gives them even more leverage when they're making these trades, because they now aren't as desperate as they were 24 hours ago. If this is it for them when it comes to the starting rotation, you can say, all right, well, look, we have Stroman, Walker, Tyler McGill, Rich Hill, Jacob deGrom hopefully coming back soon, Carlos Carrasco maybe as well, David Peterson at some point could factor into the mix, maybe Noah Syndergaard. They could get by with that. But all the reports on the Mets are still going to be aggressive. They're still looking for more starting pitching, but they can be a little bit more picky here in finding a deal that they want. This addresses the depth concerns, and now maybe they can try to find a more high upside frontline option like a Jose Berrios that'll come in and really take your rotation to another level. And if that's the case, and if Rich Hill is pitching out of the bullpen for a bit at the end of the season, that's fine. That's a good problem to have. You can never have too much pitching. And with this guy in particular and Hill, I don't think that he's someone that's going to be anything but a professional. There's no problem here if he's eventually out of the rotation where he's going to be so unhappy. He's 41 years old. He'd love to win a World Series. He was with the Dodgers for all those years, and then they win a World Series as soon as he's out the door. This is a good opportunity for him as well. So I'm excited to watch Rich Hill pitch. I think this is a great trade by Zach Scott. You get this done a week ahead of the deadline. I can't stress enough how important that is. Now the Mets can look at their other needs, see if it is a starter, see if it's a high-impact bat, maybe it's a high-leverage arm out of the bullpen. But this team is going to be aggressive, and this was the first sign of that. Looking forward to watching some baseball over the weekend against the Blue Jays. Make sure you listen to that episode that dropped this morning with Pat Rigazzo. A lot of great stuff about the trade deadline. We talked about making a deal like this. We talked about the bigger upside plays. You're going to want to tune into that. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets.